with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linens, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even came to lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am suffering in these torments.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from your side to ours, or from our side to yours.' He said then, 'I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they repent if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of days ago, we talked about the continued conversion that we are given the grace to make in response to the enduring eternal mercy of the Lord. We mentioned that the first stage of that conversion, based on Pope Benedict's thoughts on St. Augustine, was to turn away from obvious sin, but that the second phase was to learn that our whole life is meant to be given as a gift of love. If Christ loved and died for us, we too should give our lives for others. And we could phrase this progression another way. At first, in response to God's mercy, we focus on sins of commission, to cut out from our life the types of things that are absolutely incompatible with the Lord. But the Lord wants to take us much deeper. And that second phase is basically to recognize that our life is meant to be a total gift to God and to others. And so often we are guilty of the sins of omission. We just don't notice how many people need God, and we're not yet inspired from the heart on out to try to fill some of that infinite need. Today in the Gospel we have what I think is one of the most powerful of all Jesus' stories, about this rich man, normally called in the Latin word Dives, as if it were a proper name, and Lazarus. A typical Jew at the time when Jesus was saying it, if he were rich, would have one sumptuous meal with meat a week. This man was having three sumptuous meals a day. And at his gate was a man whom he never really cared for, dying of hunger, with open wounds. The pets recognized his open wounds and used to come and lick. But Dives, with all the time on the hands that he had in order to have these banquets, never even seemed to notice. But he obviously knew his name, because he was able to cite the name later. The rich man went to hell, not because he was evil at all to Lazarus. He didn't beat him. He didn't mock him. He didn't kick him. He didn't send the animals to aggravate his wounds. But when he was there at his gate, starving to death, he just didn't do anything. He didn't lift a finger. It's the classic case of what a sin of omission is. And it's not just that we're aware of a deed that needs to be done and we refuse to do it. But often there's a deeper problem where we're just so focused on ourselves that we don't even recognize that somebody was in need. And that was this man's case. He had a heart that was far from the Lord. A heart that was being satiated by so much pleasure in this life that he was no longer capable of seeing the need and the hurt of all those around. Lazarus was just one who was at that rich man's gate. There were so many others that this rich man could have cared for, but he just didn't because he was too caught up in himself. In the first reading and in the responsorial psalm today, we have a great contrast about the choice of the type of person we can be. The prophet Jeremiah first talks about a heart like the rich man. Cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who trusts in material stuff, who seeks strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a barren bush in the desert. He enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. There's no fruit there. The responsorial psalm will talk about the wicked who are like chaff, so insubstantial that the wind just drives them away. There are many people who choose to live solely for this world, solely for themselves. And eternally they produce no fruit, no matter how rich they are, no matter how outwardly blessed. But then, there's Lazarus in the midst of all his physical suffering, in the midst of all his earthly torments. He never had his heart turn away from the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, which is why, for example, he was taken to the bosom of Abraham after he had died. The prophet Jeremiah, for God says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted beside the water that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In a year of drought, it shows no distress, but bears still evermore fruit. That was the type of heart that led Lazarus to eternity. Responsorial psalm echoes it. Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't walk in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the company of the insolent, but whose heart delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on that law day and night. It's like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season, whose leaves never fade. And even in the midst of his open wounds, he was still bearing spiritual fruit because he had a heart that didn't trust in men, didn't trust in stuff, didn't trust in material blessings, but was constantly trusting in the Lord. And that hope would not be in vain. What type of heart are we going to have? The very beginning of Mass today, I'm sure you paid attention to and it changed your life. We turned to the Lord and we said, O God, direct the hearts of your servants to yourself. Direct, make our heart polarized. And once our heart's polarized to the Lord, we begin to have a heart like his that is pointed toward others. He starts to send us out in love because he loves the others who are suffering. The whole practices of Lent are meant to lead us in this direction. Almsgiving comes from the Old English word alemess. And alemess comes from the Greek aleimos, which is where we get Kyrie eleison. Almsgiving is all based on a merciful heart. It's not just the deeds that we do or the money that we give or anything else. It's the heart that leads to our sacrificing for the sake of others. The heart that the Lord wants to give us. But the other two practices of Lent lead us in this direction. The real fruit of prayer is always charity. The test of our prayer, if we're really starting to become one with the Lord we adore, if we're really allowing His thoughts to penetrate our thoughts so that His way might become our way, it's going to be shown in the way that we love those whom He loves. It's always going to be the fruit. The fruit is charity. Likewise, our fasting is meant to help us to hunger for what God hungers. We saw that on the first Friday of Lent, 2 days after Ash Wednesday, where God told us through Isaiah, "This is the type of fast I want." Let me go back and read it for you. "This is the manner of fasting I wish. Release those bound unjustly, untie the thongs of the yoke, set free the oppressed. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, never turning your back on your own." The fasting He wants is meant to lead us to charity. Everything is flowing in the direction of this eleison, this eleemos, this real merciful love, so that we're able, first with a heart that sees those who are suffering, and that influences a will that makes us choose to give ourselves for those who are suffering, because the Lazaruses are all around us. At the very end of today's passage, there's something that's key for us to grasp. The rich man wasn't totally corrupted. Rich man at least cared for his family. And he knew that his brothers were just as bad off as he was. And so if he wasn't even going to get Lazarus to be used to give him a little bit of alleviation in the midst of the fiery torments, he was begging at least that his brothers would not suffer the same fate. Good for him. But there's an important dialogue. "Send into my father's house, I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place." And Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to him." They weren't listening to Moses and prophets any more than the rich man was, because all God's law points us in this direction. To love our neighbor like this, to become like God, to become holy as He is holy, to become as merciful as He is merciful, to allow ourselves to be perfected by Him. And as we know from the Second Vatican Council, the real fullness of the Christian life is found in you, which is why the document on religious life was called Perfecta Caritatis, because that's the real... that's what it's all about, having been perfected by love, perfected in love. "Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead to them, they will repent." And then Jesus, foreshadowing His own resurrection, says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to God's voice given to us in these means, then they won't be persuaded should someone rise from the dead. What's the context of all of this? Scribes and Pharisees, very religious people. They weren't listening deeply to Moses and the prophets. They weren't getting God's real love for those who were needed. They were feasting sumptuously every day on the banquet of the Word of God. And yet, they thought that the Gentiles, they thought that sinners, that the prostitutes and tax collectors, were just, as the ancient rabbinical texts tell us, straw for the fires of hell. It's the whole purpose of their life. They didn't get the real meaning And even when Jesus would rise from the dead, they were still resisting. Because if they've got a heart that's saying, God's not calling me to convert and die for others, and therefore everything else is short of that, then you won't even pay attention at the greatest of all miracles that would have no other explanation, because your heart is set like that person in a lava waste. It's stony, it's dead, and it's just not going to be directed to the Lord as we prayed at the beginning of this Mass, because it's just inward. Now 2 weeks into Lent, the Lord is trying to shock us out of our habits, to start to notice everybody else around us who are Lazaruses. Would we recognize deeply if another sister in this house is suffering? Are we paying attention to that? Or are we paying attention to our prayer, our fasting, our obedience, our living of this rule, our apostolate, the ones we're dealing with? Are we noticing even those closest neighbors? Because the greatest among you will be the one who serves among you the most, as we talked about yesterday. Are we paying attention to that? Are we paying attention to the neighbors? Are we paying deep attention? Or are we too caught up in the feast of the activities that we have that we miss these details? That's always a great prayer for us as Christians, for us to turn to the Lord Jesus and say, open my eyes. Give me your eyes, Jesus. Let my heart see those who really need your mercy. And then transform me to be the channel of that mercy. As we come forward today, we receive something that that Dives prayed for his brothers, that they didn't receive, but that today we do. Today someone comes to us, risen from the dead, who incarnates all of this teaching, and who is going to live in us. That's the way our heart is transformed. That's the way we will bear fruit in every season. That's the way our leaves will never fade. May we open ourselves up to this stream of living water we're about to receive, to recognize that that stream of living water is meant always to overflow from us in a love that we have first received. Blessed are they who have kept the word with a generous heart and yield a harvest perseveringly. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.